You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Do you love the sound of a bowling ball crashing into 10 pins as it reaches the end of its wooden lane and you hear a triumphant strike? Maybe 10-pin bowling is something you miss since being diagnosed with sight loss. Maybe you've never played but would love to take up the sport. Well, the National Blind 10-Pin Bowling Association is a voluntary organisation founded in 2005 whose aims are to provide competitive 10-pin bowling leagues for the benefit of blind and partially sighted people all over the UK. Their event of the year, the National Finals, is fast approaching, and I'm joined on the line now with their chairman, John Hoey. John, how are you doing today?
Oh, pretty well, thanks, Chris, yeah.
It's great to speak to you today, John. Now, first of all, why was it important to form the National Blind 10-Pin Bowling Association?
I've been living with a vision impairment all my life, so I always managed to try and get out and do stuff myself. It was great to be part of it and actually join other people who have sight problems to be able to play 10-pin bowling as well. We found it's also a useful thing for people who've had sight loss recently in their lives because it's something that a lot of people could still do if they've even thought about trying to do it yet.
It's absolutely fantastic to hear, John, that you have been bowling through your entire life despite having sight loss for that time. I think the assumption a lot of the time is that to take up 10-pin bowling with sight loss, you needed to have had sight at some point that you've lost. But that's not the case, is it?
It's not. It's not. I mean, if you've watched it on the telly before or come across it on telly, you see people taking big long run-ups and throwing it in. You don't have to do that. It's something that it might be something you want to do. Or you can actually stand still and do it and check it. In our league, we actually make sure the barriers stay up as well. So one thing you're not going to do is get guttable.
Now, you became a registered charity in 2008. What were the challenges in getting blind and partially sighted people involved in setting up their own teams?
I think the hardest bit is just getting to think about the possibilities. Certainly, in events that I've been, I've only been the chair of the league for the last 2 years. I was recruited into the bowling some years prior to the actual league going live in 2001. It was I started with my team in Liverpool because they bowled in another league at the time. We found it was okay to keep on doing this, but we wanted more. So when we formed the league, we had some players who were already playing in another league with ourselves already, and they moved across with us. So we had a base to start with, which helped enormously. But since then, we've just been trying to find our way out and find new groups who will be interested. The hardest thing is to get started, and once you do, you get enthusiastic about it. You make friends, you greet old friends. It's a good thing to do.
I was saying to you before we started the conversation today about how palpable the excitement from anyone who I speak to within the league is, just so excited, enthusiastic about it. Is it because it's a sport that really unites people?
There is a sort of united feeling about it because we're all going through the same issues. We've got a handicap system in place, so anyone on their day can actually produce enormous scores, which helps with the handicap just to help them on their averages. We also have a situation where, you know, because it's competitive and we play by post, we're now able to email the results off and we get them back an awful lot quicker. And so you've got people who can see the fixtures, see who they're playing, and they set the sites accordingly. Some of the local rivalry. I noticed that this year there were two Glasgow teams in the same group because of the way it was. So I can imagine there must have been an awful lot of rivalry there.
Well, you know, in this part of the world, it's a very exciting, passionate sport for people to get involved in the 10-pin bowlings.
They're a good bunch.
Now, you have, of course, teams from all over the nation. How do you go about reaching out to people who might want to take part in the National League?
I've been moving around the Northwest recently, attending different venues with blind associations and the likes who would like to come and talk to us about things, or people who deal with sight loss events through the RNIB. I was up in Chorley a few weeks ago with Paul from Sight Loss Preston, and he was doing presentations, and we got a little spot in there to talk to people about it. We don't always find people who want to bowl on that day, but if they talk to their friends, they sometimes find people and they get in touch with us. We also try to have a go days. If we know there's enough interest, we'll come out and we'll find a bowling alley and try and arrange a day where people can bowl and just see how they like it.
I do think it's fantastic what you're doing, especially because it is such a nationwide event to bring people together. And as we've mentioned, the 2017 National Finals are coming up. An absolutely amazing chance for teams from all over the country to come together, meeting old friends and making new friends. Take us through what happens during the finals.
Well, at the finals, we get together in a hotel the night before and people get to talking to each other. There's an awful lot of reunions going on and there's people meeting, making new friends as well, as one of our slogans, that one. On the day, you get the anticipation that goes on. Well, we're having our breakfast and then everyone's onto the coach. We get straight to the venue. We'll have a little opening ceremony and then we're on with the bowling and the teams play each other over a number of games. So you have two groups of two, where we've got 12 finalists, so we play five games first, and then your sixth game is against another team from another group, and that's going to decide where you're going to finish on the day. We have a lot of good things. We move the lanes around so everyone gets a chance to talk to each other throughout the day. Everyone seems to have a good time doing that, and of course the lunch is laid on as well, so there's more catching up and talking as well, and assessing how you're doing on the day. There's an awful lot of how are we doing, where do you think we are, and the scorers don't tell anyone where they're up to, so it keeps the suspense going throughout the day.
Do you get some very, very competitive people in amongst the teams as well?
Well, it can be quite fierce, but I mean, it's all very, very friendly. It's everyone wants to be there to get there on the day. One of the things we always say, you're 12 finalists, no one wins it, you're all finalists, and everyone else has had to go throughout the year. So we always try to keep it as friendly as possible. It always is as friendly on that front. But while you're in there, you're throwing your ball down there and you want to make sure you score more than anybody else.
Absolutely. Now, I understand there has been some fantastic stories of people coming together at these events.
There have. Actually, I met my wife. It was Drew Tempin bowling.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah. She's actually the defending champion of the Winter League. They won, the Scousettes team won in May this year. This particular final is coming up as the Summer Doubles final. You know, we had other people coming together like that. People who found new lives. We've had a guy, he was quite depressed after losing sight and he couldn't speak for a long time. He wouldn't speak to anybody. But having been persuaded to come out and try Tempin bowling and meet peers, as opposed to feeling very much isolated, he's come out of himself and he's moved on.
It's absolutely fantastic. As I say, I can't reiterate enough how great the work that you guys are doing just from bringing people together, because one of the worst things about sight loss is the isolation you can sometimes feel.
It is, like, I mean, I suppose because I've had sight loss all my life, I could say possibly I haven't lost it or been better at dealing with it. I can't imagine anything worse than being deprived of sight midway through your life, or just something that you don't see coming.
Now, the finals that are coming up, John, they're not the only finals of the year, are they?
No, these are the Summer Doubles finals. So the teams who've been playing all through the summer have actually qualified for these finals, which are ironically held in November, which is closer to the winter. We also have a Winter Trios League, and of course, just to be difficult, that happens in May, which is closer to the summer. But we're getting it the right way around, because it's the teams who've been playing all the way through the winter.
So you don't have to worry too much about gutter balls, but sometimes you have to make sure you can keep your seasons in check.
Absolutely.
Now, the finals, as we mentioned, are coming up. When do the finals take place?
The finals for this Summer Doubles are the weekend of the 11th and 12th of November. It's all going to happen on the 11th with a dinner for all the finalists on the 11th at the hotel in the evening, where all the prizes will be given out. We'll meet on the Friday the 10th for those who want to come to the hotel at that stage, and we depart back on the Sunday.
As we've said before, an absolutely fantastic event. And if someone wants to join the National Blind Tenpin Bowling Association, John, how would they go about putting together a team?
If they contact us, what we're looking for is teams in their area. You know, to find some friends, or if maybe we can put them in touch with some people who've expressed an interest. So if they want to contact us via our website, which is nbtba.org.uk, and that's all lowercase. You can contact us through there, and we've got contact on that site that will help people. Alternatively, we have an address if anyone would like to write. This is our main contact address, and it's Mr. Norman Greenhalgh. He's actually one of our founders. This is number 6 Chepstow Avenue, Chepstow Avenue, CH440B for Bravo, A for Alpha.
And if our listeners want to find out more about the National Blind Tenpin Bowling Association, John, do you have a Facebook or a Twitter account that they could follow you?
not as yet, but we're looking to come into the 21st century as quickly as we can. there's a lot of talk about that at the moment, but certainly the website has a lot of information on there. I think any potential members would find helpful. nbtba.org.uk.
John Hoey, Chairman of the National Blind Tenpin Bowling Association. It has been a real pleasure chatting to you today.
That's been lovely. Thank you very much.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio.